What's up, everybody, and welcome to episode 180 of LAN Parties from the Las Vegas Review Journal and Blue Wire. I am your host, Lucas Agin, and joining me, as always, is my amazing and awesome co-host who is rocking an Avengers shirt, it looks like, Ryan Smith. Ryan, how is it going, my friend? How was your weekend?
Not bad, brother. It was pretty chill. No complaints on our end. I actually got a lot of playing in. Had a great time, had a great stream on Friday. We announced that we're going to be working in conjunction with Buddies for Charity. We'll be raising money next Friday for the Trevor Project. And we figured it'd be a great time and to do our Marvel Snap tournament as well. So that will be happening next Friday. So I'm just kind of getting the behind the scenes thing. This is the first time I'm organizing the tournament. I just, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, you know what? Like, if I just keep talking about it, it's never going to get done. So we just jumped in and we're like, we're going to do it and we'll figure it out as we go. But it's free to enter. It's for Marvel Snap. And there are going to be cash prizes as well. So, and hopefully we'll get some people in. We're going to raise some money for the Trevor Project as well. And the folks over at Buddies for Charity, fantastic people over there. So I'm really excited to kick things off with them. Other than that, though, dude, I went hard in the paint on Final Fantasy 16 Saturday. I'm having a blast. I love, I know some people really don't enjoy linear games as much. I do, for one, especially when it comes to story. So they just did a fantastic job with it. It's easy to kind of get lost. They've got a great system to where, like, you can literally stop in the middle of battle, figure out who the characters are, and it gives you backstory and what context it has to the actual story that's going on. So I thought that was fantastic. They put that in. It is a little, I would say, kind of easy. I haven't really felt challenged within the combat, I guess. But really, I'm just enjoying the story. I mean, it's a great story, and there is a ton of like cutscenes and stuff like that. So if you're into story based games and whatnot, this Final Fantasy is definitely for you. Plus, the great thing about Final Fantasy is that they're all essentially self-contained stories. So you don't have to play any of the previous ones to be able to pick this one up and understand what's going on and enjoy it. So I'm loving it. And then I also got, dude, so I was introduced to this game called Undawn. It's actually a free-to-play, like, survival zombie game, massive multiplayer online zombie game. So I kind of got sucked into that yesterday. I was playing it. It's called Undawn. It's free to play. It's both on mobile and on PC as well. I haven't tried out the mobile side of it yet, but I'm enjoying the PC side. So overall, dude, it was good. I got some games in. I feel refreshed and rejuvenated. Of course, I got my Destiny 2 stuff in. So I got my Iron Banner stuff all good. But what about you? And of course, and this will lead into you. We got to link up with Johnny Fuchs here, the creator of Annie and the AI, was in town. We got to sit down and have lunch with them. Like, that was amazing, dude.
It was, you know, it's funny that we've talked to so many people, and for the people that don't live in Vegas, we so rarely get to see them in person. So it was nice that they were in town. Hopefully they had a good weekend, won some money if they gambled. Fingers crossed for you guys. But no, it's always great to catch up with these creators. And I mean, the reception on Annie and the AI has been pretty positive. You know, it's been some good word of mouth. So definitely, if you have not tried that game out yet, check it out on Steam. It looks like they've got another good one on their hands. So it's so rare that you get some amazing story-driven games like this. That's always my alley. So I hope this game continues to do well. It's always great. My weekend was pretty good overall. We enjoyed the last of our like pre-100 degree weather for the summer. Ryan, it's coming this week, unfortunately. I know. I'm not We've been spoiled though, so I can't complain too much. Yeah. I just hope it means it's a short summer season, please. But you know, played some, spent a lot of time on my Switch this weekend. Spent some time sitting outdoors, having some fun. Went on a little photo shoot with my girlfriend, so it was a pretty good weekend overall. Plus, we got to stew on some big announcements from a Nintendo Direct that they just so happened to release the day that our episode came out last week. Nintendo, why do you do that to us?
How dare.
But I will say, Ryan, I came away really pleased with this Direct. You know, if you look at what Nintendo's lineup is shaping for the rest of the year, it's pretty stacked. You know, the highlights for me, probably not a surprise. I cannot wait for the Pokemon DLC, which is dropping this fall and this winter. Ryan already knew. And I cannot wait to revisit Scarlet and Violet. Not to mention, we've got a new Detective Pikachu game coming. So you gotta love that as well. I am ready to get my Pokemon fix this fall and winter. Heck yes. But you know, on top of that, Ryan, if you look at their schedule, the Arkham collection's coming out this fall. A new 2D Mario game is coming out in October. Super Mario RPG coming in November, and even a game like Dragon Quest Monsters coming in December. Ryan, they have games coming, it seems like, month after month once we get out of the summer, and I cannot wait for it.
Yeah, this is, again, Nintendo does such a great job with their directs and just giving people what they want, the gameplay, you know, letting folks know them. A lot of the things that they're announcing and had shown were things that are going to be coming out this year. So that just gets you and the fans pumped up for what's to come here on the second half. I was really, you know what, what really had me going was seeing that Super Mario RPG remake. I played that on the Super Nintendo when I was a kid. So the fact that this is, they're going in, they're updating the graphics. It's been so long. I couldn't even tell you. I couldn't remember. I know I beat the game, but I couldn't tell you anything about it. It was so long ago, but that, you know, I thought that was one another fantastic RPG, and to be able to have an RPG within the Mario universe is a lot of fun. So this should be awesome to see it updated. We saw the, again, we're going to be getting a standalone Princess Peach game for the first time, should I say, in the series. Princess Peach will be doing the saving herself, and won't, you know, well, we don't have the details on it per se, but I think that's fantastic that they're going in, and just the popularity of Peach with the movie coming out, and just how much, you know, people that song and people are really, I love the fact that they're kind of taking advantage of her being on the spotlight and giving her room to be able to go and us be able to explore and have an adventure with her. I think it's awesome. Again, can't go wrong with, I think that was a, I don't know if that's a new Luigi's Mansion or a Luigi Mansion. Is it a DLC, I'm guessing?
No, it's a remake of the DS game.
Oh, okay. See, there's so many of those consoles that I never played that a lot of those games are new to me, and I'm not familiar with them at all when it comes to Nintendo. So, like, again, I know people love the Luigi Mansion. So, again, them just going out and saying, hey, you know, people we're doing stuff and we got games that people like. The fact that they've got Arkham City and the Arkham Trilogy coming to Switch, I think will be really interesting. This is actually a series that I've never finished. I've only played some of the first one, so I need to get on top of that. I know, dude. I know. I hear it's amazing. I know I'm slipping for not. Don't call me out, y'all. But I mean, overall, though, I thought that, you know, there was a lot of good stuff here. Again, I know that like, I'm not familiar with Pikmin other than like within Super Smash. So I don't know about them or what they're all about within their own standalone games. But obviously, it's enough to where folks enjoy this stuff. And I love that there's these little games that they have these almost like cult. Fan bases where like people, some of them say Pikmin, like I don't know what that is. I do know what they are. I know what they look like. I know kind of some context to them, but I've never seen them or played any of their standalone games. Right. But again, this is something that people are going to be hyped about, and something that folks have been playing for quite some time. So to be able to get these kinds of things and these kinds of drops, I think it's fantastic. Obviously, they went in and we got a preview of what Wave 5 for Mario Kart is going to be. I need to get on top of that. I'm letting these things drop. I'm not even going back and playing the things or any of
that. Oh, man.
I know, dude. I'm so terrible about my Switch. Like, my Switch is probably the gaming system that I have that I play the least. I really only play it when I'm traveling. I'm not even going to lie. I've got too many other things. Oh, what a problem. Oh, woe is me.
You know, I will say, if this is the Switch's last full year here, if we're going to get a Switch 2 sometime next year, you know, I think it's nice to see them go out swinging and coming out with a lot of new content rather than having kind of like wane off and not having like barely any releases before the new console. I will say, for all you conspiracy theorists out there, that Peach game coming out sometime in 2024, if there is a new Switch coming, that sounds an awful lot like a good launch game for a new console. So maybe maybe that is going to line up. You never know.
That's true. I never even thought about that. Like having those games coupled with a new Switch console drop makes sense. That is the flagship, at least within the universe. Excuse me, of that flagship. It's new. It's a character that we've never been on the side where we've really gotten to get into her story and control her as the main protagonist. So, you know, that would be great. I would be here for it. And again, too, like, the Switch is great, but I would love them to kick it up a notch. The technology is definitely there, and you know, it's at a point now where I feel like what some folks are trying to do, they're a little limited by what the Switch can do.
Right.
And again, you know, I've talked about this before, but the big thing for me when moving over to the new console is they've got to really address the online play and the online infrastructure for them. Again, it's not absolutely terrible, but if you've ever played any online multiplayer games on Switch, it can be a little rough. Like, we were trying to do like Smash stuff and whatnot, and like, maybe not so much. So I would love for them to really take a focus on the multiplayer experience moving forward with whatever the next iteration of console is for them. But yeah, this direct was absolutely fire. Nintendo knows how to do it. People are emulating what they've been doing for years now. So this is exactly what I expected. Not a lot of, I mean, the biggest titles for me was really the Pokemon stuff, and then the all the different Mario things within that universe. Obviously, Pikmin 4. Again, not something that I play, but I know that it's got a fan base as well, and folks have been waiting on that thing to drop too. So that should be I mean, we even got a WarioWare Move It game coming out this year. Like, they went. I love it too. Like, I love the fact that they went hard in the paint on the Mario stuff for this one, because like you know, that's what Nintendo is. Mario, or I should say, Mario is Nintendo, and you know, for them to take this and be like, yo, this is a direct that's going to have a lot of focus on those characters in that universe. They just know how to do these things. They did fantastic job. And it really got us excited. And we saw our friend Aaron is going to be going to Nintendo Live this year as well. Got into Nintendo Live. I didn't even realize that this was a thing. I was like, what is going on here? And that is amazing. So Aaron's going to be out there. He'll have to get some footage and stuff like that and let us know how that all goes. But that sounds absolutely amazing. That's the beginning of September as well. So, man, I'd love to go to that. I'd love to go to that.
It would be so nice, wouldn't it? That it sounds like so much fun. And you know, that the Seattle area, that and like PAX West, I mean, talk about a fun 1-2 punch there. Did you forget about PAX West?
I didn't realize that it was the same time as PAX West. So that is opening, well, or that's going to already be open.
Let's see. I'm going to do some live.
I'm not even 100%. Yeah, I'm not even 100% sure what that is exactly.
PAX West is the 1st through the 4th. Yeah, it's the same weekend.
It's the same weekend. Oh, it looks like maybe I will be looking to see if I can go to that. I did not even realize. I saw Aaron had put a thing, and I was like, oh, cool. I thought like maybe it was like a new theme park or something that was opening up, but I didn't see what the details were. That sounds amazing because I am supposed to be at PAX West. And I should probably get on top of locking that hole. Yeah.
It might be a good idea to lock up lodging and stuff.
No, you're right. I'm at that point where it's like I've only been thinking about like first half of the year stuff. I've been committing to other things in the second half of the year, but I haven't been putting them down on a calendar. I'm starting to make myself nervous because I feel like I've already overbooked myself. I've got multiple trips and things. There's a wedding coming up and like. I know I need to get my stuff together. I need to get it together, but that's exciting. I had no idea that was going to be the same weekend as PAX West. So if there's a way, maybe I'll be able to swing getting to go through there. And that would be amazing. Just being able, I'm going to try to link up with Aaron too. I figured we'll both be out there. So I was like, I've kind of reached out a little bit to him, but yeah.
If you guys see in the Nintendo Live stuff somebody lurking in the background, it might be Ryan.
That's right. I'd be like, what's this? What's that? Overall, though, it was a solid direct. It was a solid direct and a reason to get Nintendo fans, whatever your favorite IPs and stuff are. It was another reason to get people hyped, not only about the things that are going to be coming out here in the second half of the year, but then looking forward into 2024, we've now got things to start being like, ooh, I can't wait for that. And then seeing more stuff on the development, more trailers, more details about some of these games that we saw. I'm really excited about. So pretty solid. Let's switch gears here a little bit. So this is something that was reported here actually by one of our local esports organization. And again, I have to full transparency. I am a content creator on the Las Vegas Inferno team. Unfortunately, you know, there has been an issue that was brought up to light. And I just want to they posted actually here on Twitter a statement, and I just want to kind of go through it a little bit. But a state said, effective immediately, Michael Call Me Time Lord Cox has been removed as an owner and COO of Vegas Inferno by way of an extensive internal investigation. A number of things have been brought to light based on our findings. We have decided to remove him from the Las Vegas Inferno brand entirely without going to detail. The termination of Call Me Time Lord has come as a result of embezzlement, fraud, and misconduct in the workplace. Needlessly said, these qualities do not align with our mission statement, nor do they align with the culture we have built at Las Vegas Inferno. On behalf of the ownership, we would like to apologize to all parties involved, our own members, and our very loyal community. And then obviously because of legal reasons and whatnot, they cannot discuss right now. So, you know, this is a tough one, especially having to cover something that I personally am closely, you know, affiliated with within the organization. You hate to see something like this come out. Obviously, we can't, or at least for me, I'm not looking at it as an organizational standpoint, more as an individual standpoint. Right. But this is, you know, that it's just a terrible situation. And really, you know, I think one of our goals is to be able to, you know, have their leadership team on the show here, you know, when they're able to be able to discuss exactly, you know, what happened, what's the details here, because what does one do? I suppose that goes for any organization, even, you know, in terms of us and the RJ. You know, things that we do, even that may not even be associated with the organization, still reflects on the organization as a whole. So, right. You know, we have our own personal responsibility that we have to take, not only for our own personal brands and who we are, but the companies and the folks that we associate with and that we work with. You know, it's just a terrible situation, especially the fact that, you know, you've got to go in and people have been bilked. They've been tricked. It's just all around terrible. Not only that, but then the organization in itself, you know, and again, I'm not going to go in and try to speculate what's happened or whatever. This is solely based off the statement that they release. So personally, I would love to have them on to be able to just kind of clear out exactly what the details are. But I don't know, like, what do you do as an organization to combat something like this from happening? And then, of course, if something like this does happen, how do you move forward? What do you look at doing to because your brand as a whole now has been it's you know, been tied into this.
Right. It is a challenging situation. I think the first step, and I know this is easier said than done, is to just have like full-blown transparency as much as you can. And to their credit, I think that statement is a first step toward that. Obviously, with potential legal issues involved, they can't talk fully yet. And that's totally understandable. Ryan, as you said, when they are ready and able, we would have our door open to have that kind of frank conversation and kind of just take a little dive into what happened, you know, what's been learned and how you can prevent that from the future. It's difficult because you know, we Ryan, you're involved with the group. We see these people at events all over town, you know, and there's good people up and down that organization, and that's who you feel the worst for, right? Is all the amazing people involved in that organization now have this added stress and this mess to kind of that's out there hopefully the transparency is going to continue. I think that's, you know, kind of the— it's hard in the moment, but I think that helps rebuild trust in the long haul. I know it's tough. You never want to see anyone take advantage of a situation like that. Again, just going by that statement, it's a terrible situation for everybody involved.
Yeah, yeah, and of course to those that are directly, you know, affected by, you know, whatever took place behind the scenes, obviously, you just don't want to see that, and you never know, and you're right. That is part of this. Obviously, you know, being a content creator on there, I've kind of have an inside look into some of those things, and I you know, I'm friends with those people and stuff like that. But I'm also a journalist, and we've got a job, and you know, when something like this goes down, it's like, I can't just pretend like this didn't happen, you know, and this is something that, again, I'm just curious to know what that full story is, what that looks like, and kind of what the plan is from an organizational standpoint moving forward from something like this. Because, I mean, the esports world in itself is pretty tight-knit community. Obviously, it's a huge community, but when you get into, you know, teams and different play, you start meeting people and knowing people, and a lot of people run in the same circle. So it's hard to have a situation like this that has such a, at least anything from an outsider's perspective, potential to have a negative look on the brand itself and organization. Just like you were saying, I think it was super important for them to come out immediately, you know, talk about it head on and state exactly what happened with that transparency. And again, moving forward, if they're able to, again, they don't have to, but if they would want to, you know, we would love to have them on just to be able to fully talk about this situation and see, you know, how, what kind of good can be had from a situation like this and how you move forward from that technical standpoint. So.
Yeah, definitely. And this is obviously not the important part about this whole situation by any stretch, but it is, Ryan, as you kind of alluded to, a tough situation when you run in the same circles with so many people. And if a situation like this does arise, having to kind of put on the professional glasses there, so to speak, and put aside, you know, any acquaintanceships, friendships you have to really just be just fair and open, but also not ignore an issue that's there.
Absolutely. So we wanted to keep you guys informed and let you know, and we will obviously let you know moving forward, we're able to talk more about the situation and get more details as to what the situation is. But we just wanted to at least put that out there. On that note, let's just take a quick commercial break and we'll be back on. There's some more news. There's some more stuff going on, some more shaking up and down here in the video game world. So we'll be right back, y'all.
Welcome back, everybody, and thanks for listening to those short messages. And Ryan, we still have some pretty juicy news to discuss on the back half of this episode, starting with a game that we both love, Marvel Snap, with some pretty fun changes that I think is really good for the overall health of this game. Ryan, do you want to get into it?
Yeah. So basically, and this is a huge change to their system and how folks acquire cards. Now, some may just be like, all right, you know, that sounds great. But from what my understanding of this is that we're going to be having a lot more access to a lot more top tier cards. Essentially, every 10th box within your ladder, within your CL rankings, you get, they're going to be having these new spotlight caches, and within these spotlight cache boxes, there's going to be four cards. This is going to change weekly. There's four cards that you can acquire. Essentially, you have 25% chance of getting one of the cards. After you get a card, then that is no longer in that pool, and your chances increase for the other cards. Now, the huge thing about that is that this is going to open up to series four, your big bads in series five, and new cards. So we don't have to completely rely on tokens in order to be able to get access to these cards. So we should be seeing, and this is going to be huge, huge for folks that don't pay any money, that are completely free to play on this. That's why I like it. So we should be seeing a lot more varieties within the decks, and not just these complete meta busting or not meta busting, you know, these meta decks that just absolutely rule out where like only a certain amount of people have these cards and a bunch of other people don't. So there's not really a lot that you can do about it. So,
right.
This is a monster change, in terms of how so far they've gone about doing cards and how they release these cards and stuff like that. So this is huge. And then obviously if you do get all the cards that are in a deck, then it turns to these time exclusive variants that you can get of cards as well. So even though you've gotten all four cards out of a spotlight cache, there's still more cool things that you can get out of it. And essentially this should make it so that more people are able to get cards instead of it just being 6,000 tokens for this one drop. And I've got high evolutionary sitting on my pin for at least a month now because I was a fool. I wasn't a fool. I ended up spending 3,000 on Spider-Ham. Totally worth it, I think. I love Spider-Ham. It's a great card, which I think they actually just made changes to that card as well. But yeah, this is, I just love this game, man. I can't, like, this game is like, it's not even like fully out, but they are making, they are so in tune with making changes. They're not afraid to make changes to see if something's going to work or if it's not going to work. I love it. And I have a great appreciation anytime, you know, especially for a live service game like this, for them to be that attentive to the game, and we're constantly getting changes and tweaks and new things and this and that. Like, I'm all for it. It has been well worth the season drop $10 that I pay, I feel like, because I have been playing this game nonstop since I started playing last November. And remember, before December, it even snuck into my game of the year. It tied for my game of the year. That's how much. And I'm still here playing it. I am not going to be slowing up anytime soon.
Yeah, I love this. It's nice, especially for new players too. They have more of a chance to get caught up, and you know, you don't feel overwhelmed of like, oh my gosh, there's all these cards I don't have, and these are like top tier cards. You know, it's interesting because I've been a card game fan my whole life, from like Yu-Gi-Oh and Magic to Pokemon and all that stuff. And so like the biggest challenge to any card game is, what's the long-term health, right? How do you balance rewarding the players that have been there since day one, but also welcoming new players in, you know, that are just coming in and want to jump into this? And where is that balance? I think right now they're doing that balance really well. This has never felt like, give me more and more and more money and I need to keep paying to really get caught up. You know, $10 a month in my mind is like, harken back to my kids' days, that's like a couple boosters, right? So I can, I'm good with that. Like, I'm okay, you know, paying for a couple boosters a month, essentially. So I do like this model. I think that the changes they made, the balancing that they've done for the most part has been to its benefit, and keeping things fresh here and making sure nothing's too out of whack. So I think they're doing a fantastic job with this community. It is still super fun and addicting. You know, it makes me think of a game like Hearthstone, which I actually played a little bit at the beginning, tried to go back later on, and I just felt completely overwhelmed there, just on the complexity and the amount of cards that have been out. So hopefully they can keep Snap from getting to that point. Yeah, you gotta love the balance here. If you have sat on this game, even if you are not a card game fan, seriously give it a try. It's, the games go by super fast.
Yeah. And again, I'm not a card game player like this at all. I've never seriously played a card game. I've seen people, I've watched some, excuse me, just not something I ever participated in, but I love Marvel. And then when I got in, I saw how fast the games are, how quickly and you know, how easy it was to learn how to play it. And the other thing, too, is that YouTube is filled with a ton of amazing content creators that really lay out like different strategies, how things work and stuff like that. So like, you can actually, I feel like if you've ever thought about doing it, now would be the time to get into a card game like this, because like, that's the same reason I don't do Magic or anything like that. Like, that stuff is so deep and have been going for so many years. I always feel like, dude, like, how do you even catch up? Like, it seems like a daunting thing. So being able to have this right out the gate as is being formed, and they're listening to the folks' feedback as we're going through, I think is absolutely fantastic. So a new way to be able to get cards. The other thing to remember is that I think it goes through series three first. I think you want to complete your series three. Stack up your caches as well, because apparently when you stack these caches, it starts increasing the odds, or it does something. I'd have to go back and look, but there is a benefit to stacking caches and then opening them up later as well. So I'm pumped about this. This is exciting, because now I can probably unpin High Evolutionary and hope that he comes in. I just want him because I you know, people were getting me with them, and I was like, all right, this completely, that's like a whole new archetype in itself, you know? So it's like, yeah, that's fun. I was like, that's a game changer. That's a must have card for me, but
a very annoying one to go against, by the way. I'm sure it'll be more fun once I start playing it, but it's annoying to go against.
It really is. I mean, I have some decks that handle it pretty well because they have like Luke Cage in it, and then like if you throw a Shang-Chi in, because if you do, you know that there's going to be an Abomination and a mega maxed out freaking Hulk coming at some point in time. You just got to predict one of them or figure out where one of them is, and you should be able to win that lane with Shang-Chi. And then Luke Cage prevents all negative effects from happening, because Cyclops, I remember Davis was talking trash about how worthless of a card it is, and with high Evo, Cyclops is so annoying. So he annoying.
Is. He really is. I remember the first couple of times I played against that deck, and I'm just like, I don't even know what's happening. I'm like, what's going on?
Like, what do I do? How do I stop this from happening? Ridiculous, but exciting news. And like Lucas said, if you have not checked out Marvel Snap, now is the perfect time to get in. Check it out. It's on mobile. It's on Steam. You can play it anywhere. It's free to play. It's fantastic. Highly recommend.
For sure. And one more topic that we wanted to cover here is for all you Quest owners, whether it's the Quest 2 or the Quest Pro, or if you're going to jump in on the Quest 3 later this year, there is a new gaming subscription service that essentially is like PlayStation Plus for the Quest. It's going to cost $7.99 a month. And each month, starting in July, I believe, you get access to two games per month that you can download, and you have access to those games for as long as you are subscribed to this service. Now, right, I will say I like the idea because it seems like a decent way to try out a bunch of different VR games. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of VR games that I have not tried that just due to VR games being more expensive in general, I mm-hmm. have not. So this would be kind of nice to try out some new titles. However, and Ryan, I know that you and I kind of, before we recorded, we were taking a look at the first couple months. I hadn't heard of any of those games. And I think...
I have heard of Pistol Whip.
What I would have loved, or what I hope is still coming soon, is you get some of those like blockbuster headline titles to kind of draw more people in to really show off some of the capabilities of the system. That's what I hope is coming.
Yeah, this seems weird to me for some reason. I understand it, but I don't feel that there's enough good games out there to justify $8 a month to be able to get two games, you know, that, I mean, again, we said that the first drops is Pistol Whip and something Whip, Pixel Whip or something.
I think it was Pistol Whip and Pixel Rip. It was something like super similar or something like that.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, that's cool and all, but like, you know, what's even cooler is that on Humble Bundle, Pistol Whip is on there and part of a bundle right meow. You don't even, you know, and you would be able to get away more games for cheaper. There's also things like Fanatical, where you're able to do it. This seems weird to me. It doesn't seem justified. I don't know why or what even would go into the back end. I understand it from a, you know, getting, I'm just so over subscription services. There's so many subscription services and everything is go into this perpetually pay money for this thing that, like, I'm not even, you know, they'll be sitting around collecting extra digital dust, right. You know, cause I'm not even playing it that much, but yeah, I don't know. It's cool, I guess. I think it could be an option for folks that, I mean, even then, like, I want to say, oh, that's cool. Cause you know, maybe folks that don't have enough to get games or whatever will they can utilize this. But I mean, if you have enough to get a VR system, I imagine you probably got enough to be able to get some games too. So I feel like, well, I mean, that's not, I mean, I guess that's not necessarily true. And I don't know. This is a hard sell for me. I can't see myself subscribing to this. Like you said, Lucas, if they had like blockbuster games on there, or they have these high you know, high quality AAA VR games in there. All right, I could see maybe justifying it. Right now, this just seems unnecessary.
It does. It
I
does.
Don't get it.
I do wonder how many people will subscribe to that. I'm not sure that there's like a large Quest base that's like a super dedicated VR gamer that would be like, yes, let me start jumping in, you know, and pay right. $8 a month continually. I'm not there for sure.
Why do that when I can go to Humble Bundle or Fanatical and get way more games for, you know, as low or a little more, and I'd get more bang out of that buck than I would a direct subscription to Metal Plus or whatever they're calling this.
And you would own
$8
a
month. Huh?
And you would actually own the games.
And you would own the games. You don't even own these games. It is very much like a Game Pass or PlayStation Plus situation where, and that's the other thing too. Are they gonna, will it always be accessible? Will it do where they go in and do like a, they start swapping games out that you can play and that you have access to? Like, there's still a lot of details I feel that are kind of out there that we don't necessarily know about. I know that this was just announced, so we'll have to do some more digging into it. But I mean, to me, this is not something, don't spend your money on this. I'm just gonna outright say it. Don't. Why? See where it goes. Hold off. This is not something that you need to get day one. It's like, you want Pistol Whip? I'll go buy you Pistol Whip. All right.
the Quest lineup in general is in kind of a weird spot, with like the Quest Pro that is like a pro machine that I don't really think very many professionals are using. Right. The Quest 3 is coming out, but they're going to keep selling the Quest 2, which makes me wonder, you know, are they really going to have many games that push the Quest 3 if they're already trying to also appease to the Quest 2 base, which is still on sale? Like, it's kind of a weird spot that they're in.
Well, isn't the other thing too that like a lot of the games from the Quest 1 did not port over to the Quest 2?
Yeah, that was, yeah.
That's a thing, right? So, like, so that's what makes me wonder. It's like, all right, you guys got this Quest 3. Can you play your Quest 2 games on the Quest 3? And then if not, how much longer are you guys going to support the Quest 2? Because that's my next question.
And I will also never forget Meta deciding to raise the price of the Quest 2 just to take that price off now that the Quest 3 has been announced so they can do their price cut.
Yeah. That was ridiculous. That's what they probably realized. Oh, shoot. When we do this, we need to actually bring this up so we can actually, this is the end price that we want to get at. We can't start here and then be like, oh, here's the price cut to even cheaper. Like, we got to boost it back up. We got to boost it back up. We'll see how this is. I am curious to see some more details on what this looks like. I mean, from where I'm sitting, this doesn't, at least for myself personally, again, I'm not trying to say if you do plan on doing this or whatever, I'm not trying to rip on you or anything for doing it. I'm not saying that. I just personally, for me, this doesn't seem like a good deal. There's other ways to acquire games like that. And there's just not a lot out there that's got me saying, you know what? I absolutely need to get this. We're going to be getting day one drops on Meta Quest 2. Now, if you were telling me that was the case, I'd be looking at that a lot harder. But even again, what games, what VR standalone dedicated games are in the pipeline? There is no hype for anything like that. That's why there's still this struggle, I feel, with VR really taking off commercially. There's too much uncertainty and it's too much of a niche luxury for your typical consumers to purchase and then say, I'm going to invest even more money so we have games, two titles every month that we can play. Like, why do that? Like, I get some, there's all kinds of stuff on there that you can get for cheaper. So, and other services that offer that stuff for cheaper as well. So, I don't know. We'll see how that plays out. I'm kind of like meh on this.
Me too, man. Me too.
Yeah, but no, it's all good, man. But yeah, Lucas, what do you got going on this week? What's the plans? What do you got going on?
So I'm actually taking a little bit of a trip midweek here. So on Wednesday, I'm headed out to New York for the first time. I've never been, so it's gonna be it's a pretty short trip, but I'm ready to channel that energy out there, and it's gonna be in the 70s, so I'm looking forward to that. What about you, Ryan? What do you got going on?
Not much. Not going to New York. I love New York, by the way. I have a ton of family that lives out there. It's been a few years since I've been out. You're gonna have a blast, though. It's a great place. In terms of me, just Friday doing the charity stream / Marvel Snap tournament. And then I don't know. I don't really have anything planned per se. Probably just get down on some more Final Fantasy 16, continue playing that throughout the week. This is probably just going to be a chill week for me as well. Try to keep things chill and reorganize and recollect myself and prep myself to start getting through these games. Because I got the girls at the end of July. They're going to be gone for 2 weeks. So I was saying, I was like, I'm going to beat so many games. I am going to play so many games. But anyway, we hope you guys have a fantastic rest of your week as well. Don't forget, hit us up on the tweeters at LandPartiesPod, at LucasEgan, or at Smitty2447. Again, thank you so much for joining us. We hope you guys have an amazing rest of your week. And you know what it is. We love your faces. Let's